Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Worship the King of Kings, worship the Lord of Lords. Bless his holy name. He is worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be adored, he's worthy to be magnified. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Daddy. May your name forever be glorified. May your name forever be glorified. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Now I want you to remain an attitude of worship and just sit down quietly, and you can go along with us the way the Holy Spirit is leading tonight. The choir has done a great job tonight. But we are going to repeat the hymn that we sang, the one where the baritone came in and gave sang one of the verses. I have corrected us before, maybe we forgot. Each time there is a baritone singing a section, what should be the next thing? A soprano must balance it up. All right. I said that one before, I'm saying it again. So we are going to sing that song. The baritone will come. The organist will do his interlude. The next verse will be done by the soprano. That's the first part of the hymn. And then we'll go to the second part. And we're going to sing that second part for someone special here tonight. And let me explain. The fellow might not even be here. It might be somebody listening to me somewhere all over the world. I've shared a testimony with you several years ago, and I believe while that song was going on, the Holy Spirit told me he wants to repeat something along that line. I went to visit our church in Ilorin. In those early days, I used to go every week. I would go on Sunday, I believe, minister there on Monday, and leave on Tuesday. As I was about to leave on Tuesday morning, they came to call me that there was a woman in our maternity center who has come to deliver. But this woman had told them before that he had a covenant that on the day of her delivery, she would die. And so the midwives came and said, "Daddy, this is a problem we have." And I went to her. I said, "If you know you want to die, why do you come here? You should have stayed at home or something." Anyway, I prayed for her and I left. Shortly after I left, the first baby came. But they discovered that it's a multiple birth, that see another baby in the womb. So they began to pray for the second baby to arrive. First day, the second baby didn't come. Second day, the second baby didn't come. Third day, and they begged this woman, "Please go to the hospital." She said, "No, I'm staying here." So the brethren came from Ilorin and came to me. It was Saturday now. I think it was Saturday by the time they came. "Sir, the woman you prayed for gave birth to the first child immediately you left. And since then we have been praying for the second one to come, and that one had refused to come." I put up a bold face as a general overseer. God have mercy on general overseers. "Is that why you came? After all, the same God in Lagos is the same God in Ilorin. Go back. Before you get back home, the second baby will have come." I gave them a bottle of Coke each and sent them back. After they left, I ran upstairs to my prayer room, fell on my face. "Oh God, this is the day of trouble. Please help me." And God says, "Son, you mean you didn't even believe what you said to those people?" I say, "Aha, I believe. I believe." God said to me, okay, if you believe, go and eat. Oh, Lord, this is Saturday. You know, I'm preparing for the service tomorrow. That's why I'm fasting. He said, go and eat. Well, I ate. And as I've always told you, whether that food went through my mouth or through my nose, I can't remember. After I ate, he asked me to be praising him. The song I sang is the second part of the song. It wasn't too long after I started singing that song that the phone rang. The brethren had arrived in a lorry. The woman, instead of giving birth to a second child, gave birth to two extra. As I sat down there, my daddy told me an impossible breakthrough is about to happen for someone tonight. So over to you, choir. Sing the first side, sing the second side before we go on to pray. Compact. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, if only two people get a breakthrough here tonight, let me be one of them. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Father, if only two people get a breakthrough here tonight, let me be one of them. O Lord God Almighty, just as you did in 1981, perform that great miracle again today. Give a breakthrough that will shock the devil, that will silence death, that will give joy unspeakable, joy full of glory. Put an end to fears, put an end to sorrows. And honor the faith of your children. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Blessed, blessed, blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I am serving the God of miracles. I know. Yes, I know. I am serving the God of miracles. I know. Yes, I know. What about you?
I am serving the God of miracles.
I know.
Yes, I know.
About you,
I am serving the God of miracles.
I know.
Yes, I know. I'm serving the God of miracles.
Almighty, God of miracles, God of signs, God of wonders, God of breakthroughs, God of healings, God of deliverance, God of prosperity, God of joy, God of victory, glory be to your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. Thank you for April. Thank you for May. Thank you for June. Thank you for July. Thank you for the first part of this year. Thank you for the second half, now beginning. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Beginning from now, let the tide turn for the better for all of us. Daddy, even before Sunday, Let every one of us hear good news. Let there be mighty open doors. And please, Lord, have mercy on Nigeria. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Well, shake hands with one or two people and say, God, we bless you mightily tonight. And then you may please be seated. With the exception of those of you who are born in the month of July. If you are born in the month of July, let me hear you shout hallelujah. My Father, my God, I want to commit into your hands all your children born in the month of July. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for all the miracles you have performed for them. And now, my Father and my God, I am asking that because July is the seventh month, and seven is the number for perfection, everything concerning this, your children, perfect in Jesus' name. Give them perfect joy, perfect success, perfect progress, perfect anointing, perfect grace. Give them a brand new beginning, Lord. Let their new year be far, far superior to the previous ones. Grant all their requests. Let their joy overflow. And let them serve you perfectly. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Congratulations, July children. Please be seated. Next month, by the grace of God, is our convention. And it's a world convention because our children will be coming from all over the world. And it will be from August the 1st to August the 7th. And the theme is now when God gave me the theme last year, I told you, those of you who were there then, that it means every prayer prayed during the coming convention will be amen. So let it be. So by the special grace of God, whatever is going to cause you to miss the next convention, put it aside. It's going to be absolutely glorious. The testimonies will show you clearly that God himself just decided out of his infinite mercy to come down and answer prayers. So what will be the theme? You shall be healed. You won't know sickness again. Your sorrows will come to an end. You shall be free. All the enemies you have seen thus far, you will never see them again. God will move you from glory to glory, from success to success, from joy to joy, And he will pour fresh anointing on you. He will answer you by fire. If you believe that, let your amen be the loudest of all. Amen. Glory be to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. From verse 11 to 18. Deuteronomy 8. From verse 11 to 18. And while you are opening your Bibles, I hope you will help me give the Almighty God a big round of applause for the first preacher. I was listening to him in my prayer room, and I said, well, that's my boy. That was a good one. That was a good one. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. When you are looking for good preachers, get a mathematician or get a lawyer. That was a great one. Let's give the Lord another round of applause. Glory be to God. That was good. That was good. That was good. I was blessed. Deuteronomy chapter 8, from verse 11 to 18. Beware. That's a warning. Beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein. That verse is a very comforting verse. It means you are going to eat and you are going to be full. It means you are going to build good houses. It means you are going to dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, isn't that wonderful? Your herds and thy flocks shall multiply. Your silver and your gold shall multiply. And all you have shall multiply. But then he said, beware. When all these things have happened, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, be careful. Be careful. Prosperity can be dangerous. Don't forget the one who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Beware, so that thou say not in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Beware. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which is sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You are going to prosper. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. It is a decree of the Lord. If you are a true child of God, you are going to prosper. There's nothing you can do about it. Whether the devil likes it or not, you are going to prosper. Whether you say amen or not, you are going to prosper. But there are two kinds of prosperity. True prosperity and false prosperity. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and added no sorrow." That is true prosperity. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32. Proverbs 1 verse 32 says, "The prosperity of fools shall destroy them." That's false prosperity. Because Jeremiah 17 verse 11, Jeremiah 17 verse 11 says, "Even as a partridge sits on eggs and hatch them not, so those who got wealth by wicked means shall leave them in the middle of their days, and at the end shall be a fool." There is true prosperity, there is false prosperity. And I thank God that my son who spoke before me has given you a very thorough definition of prosperity, making my job easy. You see, true prosperity is not made up of having a lot of money alone. Definitely it includes money, and I'm coming to explain that to you in a moment. But it also includes contentment. It includes good health. It includes freedom. Freedom. It includes fruitfulness. It includes joy. It includes peace of mind. It includes spiritual well-being. Just to mention a few. But because we always have limited time, let's go straight to some of the elements that combine together to form true prosperity. If we are to talk like a mathematician, we will say true prosperity is a function of money, contentment, good health, peace of mind, joy, etc., etc. Let's start with money. Money is essential. It is essential that you have it. Because poverty can destroy. And destruction and prosperity, they don't go together. And true prosperity. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 15. Proverbs 10 verse 15 says, "The destruction of the poor is their poverty." I think I mentioned this one before, years ago. The elders have a saying. A poor man went to the oracle man and said, "Please make me a charm so I can become rich." The oracle man said, "Okay, you must make a sacrifice. Go and bring a goat for the sacrifice." But because he was poor, he went and brought a rat. And so the oracle man made a charm with the rat, and the poverty increased. So the elder have the saying, "The destruction of the poor is their poverty." The oracle asked for a goat, he produced a rat. Poverty can destroy. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 19. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 19 says, money answereth all things. Well, I think all there could be qualified. But there's a lot of things that money can do. And I think I've told you before that I had a saying that when a rich man is speaking, nobody checks the grammar. You don't want to know whether the grammar is correct or not. I remember days, years ago, we were having a fundraising before I was born again. And they were suggesting names for chairman of the fundraising location. And somebody suggested the name of a professor. And the people said, oh, is it grammar we are talking about? God have mercy on professors. Poverty can be a bondage. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 7. Proverbs 22 verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. It's a terrible thing to borrow. And I decree in the name that's above every other name, every one of you in debt, God will help you pay. And you will never borrow again. Let me repeat that one. In the name that's above every other name, you will never borrow again. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, a widow was in debt. The creditors came and said, if you don't pay before tomorrow, we will sell your children. Poverty is a terrible thing. Thank God, God intervened. I don't know about you, but I refuse to be poor. Say it loud and clear. I remember 1959. I was staying with my uncle somewhere in Elisha. And my uncle traveled. And the landlord came. My uncle had not paid his rent because of poverty. And he said, I want my money. I said, my uncle is not at home. I'm not the one who rented the house. He said, I don't want to know. Get out of my house. Please, let my uncle come. He said, get out of my house. And he began to curse me as if I was the one owing. Called me all manners of names. Onigbese, Olori Buruku. That's why when God gave me the opportunity to graduate, I made up my mind the first thing I would do. Before I buy a car, they were giving cars to graduates in those days. I said, I don't want a car. I want to have a house of my own. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. And say, Father, don't let me die poor. Come on, lift your voice to the Almighty God. Don't let me die poor. Please, Lord. Don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor. Please, Lord God Almighty, have mercy on me. Don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor. Lord God Almighty, don't let me die poor. Poverty is a destroyer. can destroy. The borrower is a servant to the lender. Lord God Almighty, don't let me die poor. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Eradicate poverty in my family. Eradicate poverty in my family. Please, Lord. Don't let me die poor. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Please don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Don't let me die poor, Father. Have mercy on me. Somehow, one way or the other, help me so that I don't die poor. Don't let me die poor. Don't let me die poor, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Let's be seated. I don't want to spend too much time talking about poverty. You already understand that poverty is not good. But I've had some stories that make my heart bleed. My wife was telling me the story she had of someone who was preparing amala, preparing food, somewhere in Osun State. And the woman went inside to go and get something from the house. By the time she came back, the amala was gone. And somebody who was watching from another house beckoned to her and said, go to that house. She got to the house to find a woman with her children already eating the amala with water. Don't tell me poverty is good. That woman didn't want to steal, but she was dying of hunger. The children were dying of hunger. I've heard of stories that oh God, in the name that's above every other name, poverty will not come near you again. You must have had stories yourself. I've had the story of somebody who was taken to the hospital, and for hours they wouldn't treat him because they couldn't find the money to pay the deposit. And finally he died. Poverty is a killer. Don't glamorize poverty at all. It's not a good thing. But true prosperity is not money alone. Very important aspect of true prosperity is contentment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 10 says, those who love silver will not be satisfied with silver. Those who love gold will not be satisfied with gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 11. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 11 says, even as goods increase, those who will consume it will increase. So the man who is gathering the goods together will only see it with his eyes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 12. And it's interesting. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon, one of the richest men who ever lived. He said, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he ate little or much.
But the abundance of the rich will not allow him to sleep. The poor man who left Mushin for Lagos by 5 a.m. and returned home by 9 p.m. to soak gari and with granite. And then, because he stayed in a room and a parlor with his wife and 5 or 7 children, maybe occasionally he has to spread a mat on the floor. Before he hit the ground, he was asleep. And yet there is a man who is sleeping on a waterbed, electrically controlled, and he'll be tossing here and there for hours without sleep. Because he's thinking whether somebody is stealing his money, whether the trailer has not returned from the north. The abundance of the rich may rob him of sleep. Not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. You know, Solomon prayed a prayer. You'll be amazed that the prayer came from Solomon. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. He said, God, give me neither poverty nor riches. I said, hey, Solo. And he gave the reason. He said, lest I have too much and I begin to deny you, or I have too little and I steal. Contentment is great gain. Maybe I just remind you, you've heard the story before, I told you before. When I had to stay overnight in the house of one of my very, very wealthy man friends, and it was breakfast time, and the cook came to him and said, what will you have for breakfast? And he began to ask, what did I eat yesterday? The cook told him, what about the day before? And to cut a long story short, finally he decided, okay, he will eat bread and egg. And then the cook said, how do you want the egg? Scrambled, fried, poached, omelette, boiled. After scratching his head for quite a while, asking when was the last time I ate fried egg and so on, finally he decided on cooked, boiled egg. Boiled egg. And then the cook said, how do you want it boiled? Hard boiled. Medium boiled, rare boiled. And he decided, after a lot of thinking, medium boiled. And the cook said, how many minutes in hot water? 30 minutes to decide what to have for breakfast. And here I was sitting down, hungry. And the cook turned to me and said, sir, what will you eat? I said, everything you have got, just make it plenty. I don't have that kind of money, but God be praised. I have a very good appetite. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. And say, Father, don't let me lack. But give me contentment. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Oh, Almighty God, let me know what it is to be contented. To be contented. Give me contentment. Give me contentment.
Give me contentment, Lord. Let me know what is called contentment. Don't let me lack, but let me know contentment. Give me contentment. Almighty God, give me contentment. Let me be content. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Give me contentment. Oh Lord, give me contentment. Give me contentment. Let me live my life in contentment, Lord. Give me contentment. Father, give me contentment. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Number three, true prosperity involves good health. A lot of money is useless to a man who hasn't got good health. Job said it. The devil said it in Job chapter 2, verse 4. Job chapter 2, verse 4. He said, skin for skin. Everything a man has, he will give it for good health. If he can just get good health, he will say, take the money, give me good health. Naaman was a wealthy man, but he was a leper. If you read 2 Kings chapter 5, and you read it from verse 1 to 16, 2 Kings 5, from verse 1 to 16, and you zero in on verse 5 there, you will see what he brought when he was coming, thinking he could buy healing. The Bible says he brought 10 talents of silver. That was a lot of money. He brought 6,000 pieces of gold. And he brought 10 changes of raiment. A lot of money. Millions in any currency. Because he had money, but he didn't have good health. And then Solomon says something again. And I loved, if you want to know true prosperity, study Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 2, he said, if a man has everything, but is unable to eat thereof, he said, that's an evil disease. You have plenty of food, plenty of money, plenty of clothes, plenty of everything, but you can't even eat. He said, that's an evil disease. I agree with him. He then said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 19, he said, any man that God has given wealth and given the power to eat thereof, he said, that is a gift of God. In other words, I don't just want to have plenty of money and not be able to eat thereof. I remember a friend of mine that I tried very hard to convert, but he wouldn't yield. Was one of the wealthiest men Nigeria ever knew. By the time he died, he had $256 million in far away Australia. Not to talk of America, Britain, Switzerland, and so on. Far away Australia, $256 million. And yet the only food he can eat is milk. He can't eat any other thing other than drink milk. And yet there was a joker who was talking some time and said that the reason God is using Pastor Adeboye is because of his name, Enoch. He said, is the original Enoch who came back. And that fellow said, it's not, it can't be the original Enoch who came back, can be eating pandediam. He said, have you ever seen him eat pandediam? When I heard it, I laughed. You think I don't eat? Invite me to your house. Prepare some solid pandediam. Get a very good combination okra. Make sure there's plenty of bush meat and chicken and fish and turkey. You won't have to go to any church before you see the glory of God. Right there in your dining room, a mountain will become a valley. Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, from now on, let me enjoy good health. Come on, open your mouth and talk. Let me enjoy good health, good health, good health. So that whatever you give me, I will be able to partake of it. Give me good health. Give me good health, Lord, so that I can eat anything I want to eat. Give me good health. Give me good health. What's the use of having a lot of money if I can't eat? Give me good health, Lord. Give me good health. Give me good health, Lord God Almighty, so that I can eat anything. Give me good health. So that whatever you provide for me, I can enjoy it. Father, give me good health. Give me good health. Give me good health, O Lord. Give me good health. I don't want ache. I don't want pain. I don't want a situation where the food will be there and I won't even be able to eat it. Lord, give me good health. Let me enjoy good health for the rest of my life. I want to enjoy good health for the rest of my life. Good health, O Lord. Good health, O Lord. Good health. So that I can eat, I can enjoy myself. So that whatever you provide for me, I will be able to enjoy it. Father, please give me good health. Give me good health. Give me good health, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give me good health, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. True prosperity includes freedom. Of what use is wealth to a man who is in prison? Whether physical prison or mental prison or spiritual prison. I've seen rich people who suffer from memory loss. They can't even remember the name of their wives. They look at their children, they can't even recognize. And there is plenty of money. One of them was speaking to another and he said, she saw herself sitting on the bed. And she can't remember, do I want to sleep or have I just woken up? And yet there is plenty of money. Money that doesn't come with freedom. is of no use. Remember, one judge was sentencing a thief to imprisonment. He said, I know you stole this money and you are hiding it somewhere. He said, I will send you to prison for so long that by the time you come out, the money will be useless to you. Freedom. Nebuchadnezzar was rich. He was a king. Daniel chapter 4. You can read the whole story from verse 1 to 37. Daniel 4, 20, from verse 1 to 37. He built a whole city that was, the city he built was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But for 7 years, he was walking about naked. Of what use was the money to him then? Or King Saul, 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I should tell you, just hold on. I am never too late. First Samuel 16, verse 14. King Saul was a king, but a demon was tormenting him. As a king, he has plenty of money. And there was a lot of clothes. Everything a king could have, he had. But he had no freedom. It was a mental bondage. Now, one of the biggest problems with wealth in the text we read, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 14, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 to 14, is that wealth can produce pride. Rich people can become proud if they are not careful. And if pride comes, it brings divine resistance. It brings divine resistance. James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. It says, God resists the proud. I've told you the story before of an in-law of mine, very wealthy man. Each time we went to see him, we would preach Jesus to him. And then on one occasion, we went to preach to him as usual. And he said to me, in-law, I said, sir, he said, follow me. Yes, sir. And he took me around his great mansion. And that mansion was great. And he showed me freezers upon freezers. In some freezers, frozen fried turkey. In another, frozen fried lamb. In another, all manners of food. By the time we went through the whole house, we came back to the living room. He said to me, in-law, I said, sir, he said, you have Jesus. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have all these? I said, no, sir. He said, go and talk to the poor. They are the ones who need Jesus. I don't need him. I said, yes, sir. And some of you have heard the story before. 6 months later, I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos then. 6 months later, I returned from the campus to see my in-law or somebody who looked like my in-law in my living room. The rosy cheek had collapsed. Everything looking gaunt. I say, in-law. He said, yes, it is me. Ah, what happened? The accountant, the internal auditor, and I think the secretary colluded. They got him to sign a check. The check he signed, I think, was for 10 million pounds. It was those days of pounds. And then they added 10. And because the three of them who would check the something were together, They checked everything through. They collected the money and they left the country. And when the fraud was detected, they brought the thing. Sir, this is your signature. He said, it is mine. Well, now it's the point. It's not even just getting the money. It is that he's on his way to prison. So he said, I've called me, Lord, that will pray for me. I said, pray for you? He said, yes. In whose name? He said, in the name of Jesus. I thought you don't need him. He said, that was then. This is now. Well, you know the rest of the story. When I asked him to give his life to Jesus now, I didn't have to preach long. When a man has wisdom, he will choose freedom above wealth. I tell you, just one more story, and then you pray. Just one more story. You've heard it before too. Was this man in the city of Ibadan? Yes, years ago. Somebody brought him and said, I want you to pray for me. I've not been able to sleep for 30 minutes in more than 2 years. Pray for me so that I can begin to sleep like every normal people. He said, I have 14 houses in Ibadan. I will give all of them to you. Just pray that I will be able to sleep. Those of you who can sleep, you don't know what you are enjoying. Those of you who can sleep easily, why don't you shout hallelujah to God? I told him, of course, you give your life to Jesus, we pray for you, and everything will be all right. I don't need your 40 houses. I want to be able to sleep normally. What is wealth if it doesn't come with freedom? Freedom to do what normal people do. Freedom to be able to sleep when you want to sleep, wake up when you want to wake up. Eat what you want to eat. Not afraid when people say Happy New Year, because Happy New Year to you means another year of the covenant between you and the devil has gone. God is reminding me to tell you one other story, because I don't know, some of these stories come to some people. They mean much more even than the sermon. Some of the older ones here will remember a man who came to Ibutemeta years ago. And he said, please pray for me. I enter into a covenant with the devil to give me wealth and then come back for my soul after 7 years. And they gave me something to swallow, and I swallowed the thing, and the thing is biting me from inside. I have 2 weeks more now to go. We prayed a simple prayer, he vomited the thing. We all rejoiced. For some time he was coming to church. After some time we didn't see him again. And we decided to do a follow-up. Brother, what happened? We didn't see you again. He said, they told me that I swallowed the other one wrongly. You mean you swallowed another one? He swallowed another one, and money began to come. When it was almost 7 years to come to pass, he decided that, well, the demons in Nigeria will not be able to handle him if he runs to London. So he took a ticket and began to go to London. He died on the plane. Stand on your feet. You're going to cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, the kind of wealth that will put me in bondage Don't give it to me.
Don't give it to me.
The kind of word that will put me in bondage. Almighty God, don't let it come near me at all. That kind of wealth that will put me in bondage, I don't want it, Lord. I don't want it, Lord. Don't give me the kind of wealth that will put me in bondage. Don't give me that kind of wealth. I don't want to be in bondage. I want to be able to be free. Free to go out, free to come in, free to sleep, free to wake up. The kind of wealth that will put me in bondage, I don't want it. The kind of wealth that I will see a policeman coming and I'll be afraid, I don't want that kind of wealth. The kind of wealth that I'll be afraid that one day they will discover my secret. Lord, I don't want that kind of wealth. That kind of wealth that will put me in bondage, I don't want it, Lord. I want true prosperity, Lord. I don't want bondage. I don't want bondage. I don't want bondage. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And if you am in bondage already, set me free, Lord, set me free. I don't want to remain in bondage. I don't want any form of bondage at all. Physical, mental, spiritual. I don't want bondage. I prefer freedom, Lord. I prefer freedom. I prefer freedom. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. And if any of you is in bondage, you shall be free tonight in Jesus' name. Please be seated. The next item that will make true prosperity is something called joy. The importance of joy in true prosperity is highlighted by Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and added no sorrow with it. That means there are riches that will come with sorrow. Deep sorrow. Among the elders, they say that if you look at the bottom of wealth, you will see dregs. In other words, they are saying that majority of the people you see who are wealthy, and they have secrets that they won't even be able to talk about. And so the fact that you see some people looking judges doesn't mean that all is well. Somebody said once, that's the reason some people go, and I'm not saying I believe him completely, but he said the reason some people go from air-conditioned car to air-conditioned office to air-conditioned bedroom is because there's a lot of fire burning under them. And that may be true. Some of them have problems they can't even share. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the blessing that God will give you will be without sorrow. Because sorrow is a killer. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says,
sorrow can break your spirit. Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good as a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Sorrow is a terrible thing. When you look at Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 to 11, you see the importance of joy. Matthew 2 verse 1 to 11 talks about wise men who came from the east. If we are to believe Bible scholars, they traveled for 2 years, loaded with wealth, seeking Jesus. When they found him, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They had money, but they were looking for joy. And I can tell you story upon stories of people who were wealthy but were living in sorrow. Just one would do. Probably you've heard it before. I was invited by some eminent personalities to come and preach in one of the secluded areas of Lagos. I don't want to mention the place. And while the people were gathering, they asked me to go and sit down in the living room while the people were gathering at the backyard. And I'm talking of one of those places where the moment you enter the gate, you forget that you are in Nigeria. I'm telling you. Everything so beautiful, so, I mean, when I got into the living room, where I was seated, I saw there were 5 various sitting rooms, one leading to the other, in ascending order of splendor. I'm telling you, I've seen houses that was beautiful. So I was going to talk on the God of miracles. I began to think, I better change my topic. I wanted to change the topic to, oh, that man who praised the Lord. But the Almighty God spoke to me, this family in particular need the miracles desperately. But then later on I discovered that the lady of the house, that beautiful place, had one son, and that one son was on drugs. Not only was he on drugs, when the woman refused to give him money for drugs, he planted drugs in the luggage of the mother when the mother was traveling abroad. They arrested the woman abroad, but money answered all things. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If your only son is on drugs, you won't know what is called joy. That fellow who vomited the charm said that every year when they said Happy New Year, he would say, oh, 1 year gone. Whereas there are people like us here, we don't have much money, but when we say Happy New Year, we really rejoice. Glory be to God. But the Almighty God can give you prosperity without sorrow. All you have to do is ask him. And I want you to stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, for the rest of my life, don't let me know sorrow. You better pray that prayer. It's a very important prayer. Don't let me know sorrow. Please, for the rest of my life,
It is my prayer, Lord, constantly to you. Don't let me know sorrow. Don't let me know sorrow ever again. Don't let me know sorrow. Don't let me know sorrow again for the rest of my life, Lord God Almighty. For the rest of my life, don't let me know sorrow. Don't let me know sorrow over my children. Don't let me know sorrow over my wife. Don't let me know sorrow in my family. Don't let me know sorrow over your church. Don't let me know sorrow. Please, Lord, don't let me know sorrow again for the rest of my life. Don't let me know sorrow again. Keep sorrow far away from me. Keep sorrow far away from me. Keep sorrow far away from me. Father, keep sorrow far away from me. Keep sorrow far away from me. Thank you, Jesus. Keep sorrow far away from me, Lord. Keep sorrow far away from me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Thank you, Father. I want to say amen to this before I tell you. Because the Lord said there's someone listening to me right now. He said, I won't let your children suffer the way you did. I want to say amen to this again too. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, one day, your family will be counted among the wealthiest in this nation. That must be me. Another element of true. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, one day you will be used as an example of all-round success. Another element of true prosperity is spiritual well-being. Spiritual prosperity. You see, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark 8, verse 36 says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Of what benefit? In other words, like somebody tried to analyze it, he said, Daddy, let's put this thing down mathematically. God is saying, if you have all the money in America, plus all the money in China, plus all the money in Britain, all the money in Europe, all the money in Africa, if they all belong to you alone, and you still don't make it to heaven, You are a loser. What does it profit a man if he gains what? The old word, and loses his soul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, Philippians 3, 7 to 11, Paul said, all things that were gained to me, all things that were gained to me, I counted but loss. Why? Because I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want spiritual prosperity. And when God responded, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12, Acts 19, verse 11 to 12, the Bible says God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul. So that from his body, handkerchiefs, aprons were taken to the sick. The sickness departed from them. Demons saw his handkerchief coming and they ran. I told those of you who are here to attend the first session of the Disciples Convention yesterday. I said, if you have anointing, you don't even need to seek for money. Anointing is far, far, far superior to money. Far, far. I remember quite a few of my friends who thought I was a fool when I decided to go on full-time ministry. A lecturer in the university, you know how you suffered before you became a lecturer in the university. Now you are earning a good salary. You can feed yourself, you can feed your family, and now you're going on full-time ministry. You are a fool. I agree with them. Only I'm a fool for Jesus. I've listened to testimonies now. They gave me so much joy that all the money in the world could not give. I was in New York just a few days ago, and we had a Holy Ghost rally there. And it was, no, what was it? Yes, I think it was in New York. And it was testimony time. And one of the testifiers said she attended the convention, American convention, a year ago. And during the convention, God told me to do something strange. And when he speaks to me, I obey. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I know who's talking to me. God spoke to me on that, during that convention. He said, son, I want you to remove your shoe, remove your socks. I want you to walk right round the front of the altar. Yes, Lord. I did what he asked me to do. Then he said, anybody who has terminal disease in the congregation should come to the altar and touch the altar, that he will heal them. Well, I didn't know that there was somebody there who had just received a message on her phone that her mother, who had been in hospital, had died. She was in the midst of the convention, and she looked at the picture of the dead mother and said, well, God has just said that miracles will happen now to those who come to the altar. Mama is there, but the picture is here. She took the picture of the mother and laid it on the altar. Traveled back to her town the following morning, got to the hospital to discover that Mama had come back to life. That's just one of many, many testimonies
I know there are some people, they might not be many, who will be willing to sell everything they have if God can just give them the ability to raise the dead. Is anybody like that here at all? Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, please hear me loud and clear. I prefer anointing to money. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, I prefer anointing to money. I prefer the ability to raise the dead, the ability to heal the sick, ability to make the blind see, ability to make the barren fruitful. I prefer anointing to money. I prefer anointing to money. I prefer spiritual prosperity to material prosperity. Lord God Almighty, I prefer anointing. I prefer anointing to money. So give me anointing. Pour fresh oil on me. Anoint me like never before. Anoint me like never before. Prosper me, Lord. Prosper me mightily. Prosper me spiritually. I prefer anointing to money. I prefer spiritual well-being to material well-being. I want true prosperity. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And you shall receive it in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Let me begin to round up. What do I do to prosper? And I'm talking of true prosperity now. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. The Lord said, there's someone listening to me right now. He said, because I will stand by you, nobody will be able to subdue you. Thank you, Father. So if anybody is trying to subdue you, the fellow is wasting his time. Glory be to God. Okay, now, so what do I do to prosper? Since it is God who gives the power to get wealth, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, wisdom tells us that we should put God first in everything. Put him first. He's the one who gives the power to get wealth. He's the one who gives the power to get money. Money belongs to him. Silver is his. Gold is his. The cattle upon the 1,000 hills belong to him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Put him first in all things. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, again from Solomon. We can learn from this man. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 11, he said, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. Put him first. Don't struggle with him with your first fruit. Oh,
He knows ways that you don't know. He knows. Put him first. Two, don't play games with him. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 11. When he said, bring all tithes into my house, he didn't say half of the tithe. He didn't ask you to spend half of the tithe in doing something else in the house of God. He said, no, no, no. You bring all the tithe. Bring it 100%. All the tithe. And some of us will say, well, I'm going to the church, so I use part of the tithe for transportation. Or I give part of the tithe towards church building. It's still God's work. No, 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 no. Don't play games with him. There's a difference between tithe and offering. Like someone said, in the days when the people in charge of our electricity used to be called NEPA. I don't know what they call them now. The names keep changing, but the results seem to be the same. He said, suppose NEPA comes to read your meter and they put there, you are owing them 100 naira. And you took the 100 naira, in those days naira was strong, and you are going to pay. On the way, you saw a NEPA pole that fell down. And so you used 50 naira to help them raise up the pole. So you get to the place where you are going to pay, and you said, well, your money is 100, but I've helped you to use 50. What would they do to your light? They cut it off. Don't play games with God. Don't play games with him. Study his word. Meditate on his word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Joshua 1, 7 to 8. Make Bible study part and parcel of your life. Some of you don't go to digging deep, where we dig deep in the word of God. Some of you don't go to Sunday school. You say Sunday school is for children. If you say Sunday school is for children, who are you? Are you an adult? In the hand of the one who had been before the mountains were brought forth. The one who has been from everlasting to everlasting. In the hand of God, we are all children. There's nobody here who is 100 years old. That's why we are called children of God. They didn't call us adults of God. How many children of God are here? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. Study the word of God. Meditate. Every time there is an opportunity to study the word, be there. Be there at the house fellowship. Be there in the Sunday school. Be there in the digging deep. Study the word. Because he said to Joshua, if you study my word, you will make your way prosperous. Then obey him completely. One of the reasons why he asked you to study is so that you will discover what he wants, and then you go ahead and do it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 to 2, 11 to 13. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 2, 11 to 13. He says, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said, blessings will follow you and overtake you. You'll be running from blessings. Blessing will be following. He said, you will never borrow. You'll be lending to nations. That's what he said. It doesn't make sense that we'll be lending to nations. Because many times we look at ourselves as pure.
But today, by the grace of God, the Redeemed Christian Church of God is in more than 190 nations of the world. And we are lending to nations. Lending to nations. Buying churches. Building schools in nations of the world. I've always told them, don't let me ever hear you say Nigeria is poor. As far as I'm concerned, the God of Nigeria is wealthy. We are not poor. Because we are lending to nations. But you need to obey him. Many a times his instructions are difficult to obey. But obey. You just do what he says and leave the rest to him. I've told you the story of what happened when we were building the very first auditorium by the door, by the expressway. And we came to roofing the place, and I needed 17,000 naira. 17,000 naira was a powerful amount of money then. Can roof a whole auditorium, 100 meters by 50 meters. And one of my pastors was building a house for people from his own area. He needed 1,000 naira to roof his own auditorium, or his own house. I had 1,000 naira with me, and he came. I don't know how he knew I had the money. I said, Daddy, please, give me 1,000 naira. I need to roof my residence for my people. I was upset. I need 17,000. I have only wine. And you want to collect the wine. I said, if you don't get out of my office. He got up and began to run. And God spoke to me and said, give him the 1,000. If I didn't know his voice, I would have said, get thee behind me, Satan. But he's the one who spoke, so I must obey. Obey him is not always easy. I called the fellow back. I gave him the 1,000. And he began to jump and gallop away. I said, it's not your fault. The problem is solved. I'm back to zero. And God said to me, son, why are you grumbling? There were two problems. I used you to solve one. There's only one problem left. And it wasn't long before the end of the day when somebody came all the way from Port Harcourt and said, I have just collected my house rent, and God said, I should take it to you complete. And she brought me, I'm sure you can guess the amount, 17,000 naira. Obey him and leave the rest to him. Obey him completely. He will cause you to prosper. And then seek him diligently. Seek God, not money. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek God. Seek God in every possible way. And then, of course, keep sowing. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 6. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6 says, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening sow your seed. Don't withhold your hand. Because you don't know which one is going to bring forth the greatest fruit. Just keep sowing. And then keep building his kingdom. Just keep building his kingdom. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. Zechariah 1 verse 17. God says, my cities, my kingdom shall yet be built through prosperity. He will prosper those who are committed to building his kingdom, to doing the work of God. They hear that there is something to be done for God. They want to be partakers. That's how the doors open. I've told you of a small boy several years ago at a Butemeta. Every Sunday, I don't know how he managed to convince the mother. Mother will give him 1 naira. He will come to me and say, "Daddy, this is for you." And he will say, "One day, I will buy you a plane." I will look at the small boy and say, "Amen." Years passed. And I met the boy in London. And he said to me, came to me, said, "I'm sure you don't remember me." I said, "I'm not quite sure because he has grown." He said, "I'm the boy who used to give you one naira every Sunday." "Oh, my friend, I look for you. I didn't see you. I didn't know you have gone to London." He said, "There is a car outside. I'm not able to buy you a plane yet. But there is a car outside and it's for you. And it's a brand new Mercedes-Benz car. If you want to do the work of God, he will provide the means. If you want to work for him, he will supply what you need." Let's stand on our feet and pray one more prayer before I give the altar call. Lift your voice to him and say, "Father, everything I need to serve you, give it to me." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. "Everything I need to serve you, give it to me. If I have the money, I will spend it for you, Lord. Give me the money. If you make me healthy, I will run for you. If you give me joy, your joy will be my strength. I will serve you with that strength. Everything I need to serve you, Father, give unto me. Give unto me. Give unto me, O Lord. Everything I need to serve you, Father, give unto me. Give unto me. And I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you. Everything I need to serve you. The money I need, give it to me. The health I need, give it to me. Everything I need to serve you, Lord God Almighty, give it unto me. I will serve you. I will build your kingdom. Everything I need to serve you, Father, give unto me. Give unto me. Give unto me. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. You may please be seated. I'm about to conclude now. As I've told you the story before, some of you know the fellow who came to me and said, "Daddy, pray for me. I want to be one of the 3 people who will sponsor the convention next year." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Good." So I prayed. And then he left. A week later, he came running. "Daddy, I ask you to pray that God will prosper me so I can sponsor the convention. I got to my place of work today and they sacked me." I laughed. "Okay. You're going to sponsor the convention on your salary? Do you know how much it costs to feed all these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people?" I said, "God has shut a door so he can open another. God has found a treasurer and he wants to open doors." Within a year, he was one of the 3
that paid for the convention.
When God finds somebody who wants to work for him, he makes the means available. I'm praying for someone here today that even before the end of July, you will come to me and say, "Daddy, I want to sponsor the convention." So shall it be in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Listen carefully, because we will hear your testimony. The Lord says he's going to give someone an unusual breakthrough this month. He said it will be so unusual, you yourself will know this cannot be human. But he asked me to tell you, 50% of it is yours, 50% belongs to him. Listen to me carefully. He said, if you are faithful in what he's about to do, he will open other doors. If you are not faithful, it will be one time miracle. So take note. Don't say I didn't tell you. Now, 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2 says, I wish above all things. Above how many things? All things. That you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's the word of God. And the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. The word of God cannot change. If that is the only passage in the Bible on prosperity, any one of us who is not prospering properly should be able to go to God and say, God, what's going on here? You said in your word, I wish above all things that I prosper. Two, that I be in health. Do you know, any time I have any physical challenge, now I can thank God because there have been only 2 challenges in 43 years. That's not bad. But I go to God and say, God, what's going on? Because according to your word, I am to prosper and be in health. I want you to say loud and clear, poverty is not my portion. Say it as if you mean it. Say it one more time. And with the same conviction, say it loud and clear. Sickness is not my portion. Say it one more time. Let every sickness, every ache in your body hear you. Sickness is not my portion. It's not. Because God is not a liar. Bible says, let all men be liars, but let God be true. The word of God is forever settled. He said, I wish above all things, that you prosper and be in health. The only condition he adds is, as your soul prospers. As wife, when I have financial challenges, I turn to the Almighty God. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Am I not obeying you? Am I not obeying you fully? Why am I sick? Why do I need to suffer pain? What's wrong? You may say, though, Daddy, you are spiritualizing everything. Please allow me. When you are born of God, you are a spirit. Everything should be spiritualized. The Father we serve is a spirit. God is a spirit. A child of a spirit is what? A spirit. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You may not believe it, but that's the way I live my own life. If I am walking and I should accidentally strike my leg against a stone, I stop. What's going on, Lord? Because it is written, he shall give charge to his angels concerning me. I don't know about you. They will bear me in my hands so that bear me in their hands so that I won't strike my foot against a stone. It is in the word. So when it happens, I stop to pray. God, is there a danger ahead? Or is there something wrong somewhere in my life? So if I'm not prospering, why? If I'm sick, why? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. And do you know, my beloved children, it is whatever you tolerate that will stay. How many of you will say, no more poverty? Say it loud and clear. Say it as if you are angry. And in the same manner, say, no more sickness. Because as he hears in his ear, so will he do. As my soul prospers. So, beloved, let us examine ourselves. In what areas have we been failing God? In what areas have we been playing games with God? In what areas have we been putting ourselves before God? In what areas? Somebody said to me not too long ago, he said, Daddy, I can't understand how you could have problems building the new auditorium. He said, I can't understand. I said, what do you mean? He said, with all this, your children? He said, if all this, your children are even given just 100 naira a month towards that work, he said, the work would have been easy. I said, God loves a cheerful giver. He said, Daddy, I know you have more than 200,000 pastors and deacons and deaconesses, more than 200,000. I said, that is true. He said, if all your ministers give 1,000 naira a month, the work will be easy. I said, that is true, but God loves a cheerful giver. In what areas have we been playing games with God? He gives the power to get wealth. Let me tell you the truth. He also reserved the power
to withdraw wealth. I must tell you the whole truth. I'll tell you one more story and I close. The story you have heard before, some of you. A young man came to me, "Daddy, pray for me, pray for me. I need a breakthrough. I need." Okay, that's all right. I prayed. And he came excited. "Daddy, you won't believe this." I said, "Try me." A man had called me and told me he wants me to sell his house in Lagos. It has 13 flats. And he asked me to pay him so much. Doesn't matter how much I sell it. Just go and sell it and pay me so much. I said, "Congratulations. This is the breakthrough we've been waiting for." I said, "If there are 13 flats, I think that means you will give one flat to the church." He said, "Why?" I said, "I'm thinking of tithe now. Since we can't have 1.3 house, at least one flat." He said, "That's the problem with you pastors. You are only interested in what you can get." I said, "Ha, please." He became so angry, he left my office. Then he found a buyer for the house and went to the landlord, to the owner. "Sir, I found somebody who will buy the house. Where do you want me to pay your money? Which account?" That one said, "Which house?" "The house you asked me to sell." He said, "I asked you to sell my house." He said, "Yes, you asked me to sell the house for so much." The man said, "Whoever did the charm for you has failed. You don't get out of my place, I will get you arrested." He ran back to me and said, "Daddy," "don't get me involved. You want to play games with God? Go and deal with him. Leave me out of the show. Stop playing games with God. He knows you. When it is offering time, he knows what you are worth. And he knows what you are giving. He's not a beggar." I've always told people, before you came to the church, God has been building his church. He will keep on building it. You didn't buy the chair you are sitting on. Somebody paid for it. Don't play games with the one who has the power to make you prosper. And then to crown it all, there are many of you, we ask you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You are withholding your life from the one who made heaven and earth, the one who made you. You think you are clever. Some of you think you don't need him. You are too big to surrender to Jesus Christ. It's like I've always said, there are many of you who say you don't believe in miracles. You will believe when you need one. When the doctors tell you there's nothing more we can do, you will believe in miracles then. But must you wait till the time of trouble before you surrender your life to your Maker? So if you are here tonight, or you are listening to me anywhere in the world, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, if you are in your living room, you will stand up and let God know that you are standing up to surrender your life to him. But if you are here, come forward. I can see there's quite a crowd out there, so I'm going to count from 1 to 15. Before I say 15, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come. I'm counting now. 1. 2. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Eleven. Twelve. Thirteen. If you are already on the way, just keep on coming. 14. 14. Now those of us who are already in front, and those of you on the way, talk to the Lord now. Pray that the Almighty God will save your soul. Tell Him you have come to surrender your life to Him, and ask Him to have mercy on you. The rest of us, please let's stretch our hands towards these people and pray for them. Intercede for them for about 2 minutes, that God will have mercy on them, that He will save their souls, that He will forgive all their sins and give them a brand new beginning. Let's pray for them, brethren. And those of you in front, talk to the Almighty God now for about a minute or two. Ask Him to be merciful unto you. Tell Him you have come to surrender your life to Him. Tell Him to please forgive all your sins and save your souls. And let the counselors please come and attend to the people here. Counselors, God bless you. Please come. Please let's intercede for them for just one more minute. Asking God to be merciful unto these people, forgive all their sins, and wash them clean in His blood. Pray that God will give them a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning, Lord. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Hurry up, those of you who are still on the way, hurry up. I'm about to pray now for the salvation of these people. Come, come quickly. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Savior, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their lives to you. Father, you promise that whosoever will come to you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Save their souls. Forgive all their sins. Let your blood wash them clean. Write their names in the book of life. And don't let them ever backslide. Please, from now on, anytime they call on you, answer them by fire. Thank you, my Father, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Okay, I'm rejoicing with you, and I want to promise you that from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. So I need your names, your address, and your prayer request. The counselors will give you a card, which I want you to fill very quickly, and then return it to them. Just give me your name, your address, and your prayer request, and I promise you, I'll be praying for you. Now, while these people are busy filling their cards, the rest of us, let's talk to God. You know the areas in which you have been failing God. Ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to give you a new opportunity to begin to serve Him wholeheartedly like never before. Maybe you have been cheating Him on your tithes or playing games with your offerings, or you have not been obeying Him completely. You have not been winning souls. You have not been witnessing. You have not been studying His word the way you should. Whatever it is that you have not been doing well, ask God for forgiveness and reach a new resolution that from now on you begin to serve God wholeheartedly, that you will be 100% involved with the building of His kingdom. Just for a few minutes while we wait for our brothers to finish filling their cards. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now we're going to pray some three very important prayers. I'm going to ask you to please stand. And if you believe God will answer you by fire, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Please join your hands together. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. And say, Father, we agree. No more sufferings. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. We are all in one accord, Lord. No more sufferings. I'm in total agreement with my neighbor. No more suffering. No more suffering in the life of my neighbor. No more suffering in my life. We all agree. No more sufferings, Lord. No more suffering material, no more suffering physical, no more suffering spiritual. No more suffering even
politically, we are all in one agreement, Lord, no more sufferings. No more sufferings. We agree. We are in one accord. We are your children. And you say that if two of us shall agree as touching anything we ask on earth, it will be done for us by our Father in heaven. We are all in agreement tonight, Lord. No more sufferings, Lord. No more sufferings. No more sufferings. No more sufferings. No more sufferings, Lord. No more, no more, no more, no more. We are all in agreement, Lord. We are in one accord. We are in one accord. We say, Lord, no more sufferings. No more material sufferings. No more poverty. No more physical suffering. No more aches. No more pain. No more sickness. No more failures, no more defeat, no more sufferings, Lord. We are in agreement. No more suffering. No more suffering, Lord. Thank you, Father. No more suffering. No more suffering. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, no more suffering. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Remember, please keep your hands joined. Remember, when you are praying for your neighbor, the Lord of Harvest will return the prayer to you multiples. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, give my neighbor the power to prosper. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Give my neighbor the power to prosper. To prosper mightily. Give him the power to prosper. Tremendous power to prosper. True prosperity. Complete prosperity. Give my neighbor the power to prosper. To prosper mightily. To prosper greatly. Give my neighbor the power to prosper. Give my neighbor the power to prosper. Give my neighbor the power to prosper. To prosper mightily. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The last prayer is for yourself, so you can lose your hand because you don't know whether the other fellow wants the prayer. And then listen to me before you begin to pray it. Make sure that you hear it first. Because you want to ask God to make you a divine treasurer. It's a covenant prayer. It's a prayer that says that if God will open his treasures and prosper you mightily, you will just be merely his treasurer. So it's a dangerous prayer. So if you are ready to pray it, then lift your voice to him and say, Father, if you are looking for a divine treasurer, make me one. Now, well, go ahead and talk to the Almighty God. If you are looking for a divine treasure, I'm available, Lord. I am here. You're looking for someone that will prosper mightily so that your work on earth can be easily done. I am here, Lord. I'm here. Make me a divine treasurer. I want to be your treasurer here on earth. I want to be the one into whom you can pour all the resources of heaven and earth. And I will be a very good steward. I want to be a divine treasurer, Lord. Make me a divine treasurer. Make me a divine treasurer. Please, Lord. Make me a divine treasurer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Everything you have asked God for tonight, you shall receive. Even beyond what you ask for, God will do it for you. You shall prosper. You shall be in health. Your soul shall prosper. And you will serve the Lord. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. If you receive it, let me hear you shout hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. As I'm sure you probably are aware, we're having the Disciples Convention this week that is ending. The disciples have been around and be having a wonderful time. Now I want to pray for all these disciples. So wherever you are, if you had been to the School of Disciples, either you are a graduate or you are just in the school, you can begin to move forward towards the altar. I want to pray specially for you, all disciples, those who have been to the school, those who are in the school, you can begin to move forward now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful sight. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's no more room by the altar, then you can stand in the aisle where you are. Before I pray for you, we are going to do two things. One, you are going to pray for me, because I believe God answers the prayers of disciples. And then you are going to pray for yourself, and then I will pray for you. In praying for yourself, you are going to base your prayer on one question that Jesus Christ asked the disciples before he left them. He said, "All the days I've been with you, did you lack anything?" And so when it's time for you to pray, you're going to tell God, "I'm your disciple. I shouldn't lack." That will be your own prayer for yourself. In the meantime, I want you to pray for me and say, "Father, like never before, give your son the power to prosper." Go ahead and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The Almighty God will answer your prayers. Amen. Now you lift your voice to him now and say, Father, I am your disciple. Don't let me lack. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. I'm your disciple. I am your disciple, O Lord. Don't let me lack. Almighty God, I'm your disciple. I am your disciple. Don't let me lack. Your disciples never lacked. Lord, don't let me lack. I am your disciple, Lord. I shouldn't lack. Don't let me lack. I am your disciple. Don't let me lack. Don't let me lack. Thank you, Father. Don't let me lack. Don't let me lack, Lord, I'm your disciple. I am your disciple. Don't let me ever lack. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, these are your disciples. If a disciple should lack, it will be a bad testimony concerning his master. If an ambassador should lack, it doesn't give a good image of the country that is representing. These are your disciples. They are your ambassadors, Lord. From tonight onward, I decree, you will never lack again. Physically, you will prosper. Materially, you will prosper. Your family will prosper. Your children will prosper. Those who love you will prosper. Spiritually, you will prosper. The anointing of God upon your life will never run dry. You will never beg. You will never know sorrow. You will never know bondage. Your joy will always overflow. You will have more than sufficient. And you will serve the Lord. Your life will be a good testimony to God. He will use you for his glory. You'll be mighty vessels unto honor in his hand. It shall be well with you. God will move you from success to success. You will never know failure again. You will never know sorrow again. If you are owing anybody, miraculously God will help you pay. And you will never borrow again. God will use you to lend to nations. It shall be well with you. You will serve him till the end. In the kingdom of God, you will not be missing. So shall it be. By next year's Disciples Convention, your testimony will be overflowing with you. You shall be great. You will do greater works than Jesus. He will use you to heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will win the world for Jesus. He will answer your prayers by fire. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.